Good morning. Isn't it a joy to see God do something in the life of people? And today we're going to be looking at a text in John chapter 20 where God did an amazing thing in the life of his disciple, Thomas. I'll be preaching from John 20, 24 to 29. And the title this morning is A Path from Doubt to Belief to Life. In chapter 20, there are three appearances that take place to Jesus. The first verse of that chapter reads as follows. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. This text paints a sharp picture, a simple, real picture, an account of what happened that first day of the week, that Sunday. Still dark, Mary goes to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. Over the past few weeks in the Chinese Community Church, we've looked at the Passion. We've preached on the seven last words of Jesus. We've had Palm Sunday. We've had Good Friday. We've had a Tenebrae service where we reflected on Christ. We have seen the suffering of the Messiah, the punishment that he took, that we all deserve. He bled for our sin. He bled for our rebellion. The judgment we deserved was placed upon him. We heard the whips. We felt the sting of the scourging. We heard the women weeping at the cross. We saw the cruelty of the soldiers. We heard the preachers or the religious leaders curse him. As God incarnate, God in the flesh, hung on the cross. We saw his death on the cross. All of us watched through the eyes and ears of the witnesses. Peter and John and Luke recorded this information in the scripture. That is there for us. Their testimony, their words, what they experienced. Still, there are always people who do not believe. Some don't believe because of doubt. Some don't want to believe because they want to keep their sin. And they don't want to give it up. Thomas didn't believe at first when he was unable to see Jesus because he doubted for a moment. Some people think all you need to become a Christian is the facts, the right Bible study. No. Christian faith is not only about facts, it's about encounter with God, encounter with people who've known God. I know people in my life who have the Bible, they know it all. But they choose not to follow God. Following God is a choice. And we must be intentional about it. No amount of arguing. I know some people that are married and they have a spouse who's not a Christian. Male or female, it doesn't matter. And the man or the woman, they always tell the spouse, you need to become a Christian. You need to come to church. No amount of argument, no amount of books that you give them will bring them to Christ. They have to choose to follow Christ. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She saw that it had been rolled away, the stone. The disciples came after she got them. They looked around. They didn't see anything. They didn't quite understand the scripture. And they went back. And then Mary Magdalene saw someone she thought was a gardener. And that gardener was really Jesus. And Jesus showed her his hands. And what did she do? What did she do? She went to tell the disciples. Christ is risen. We say this as Christians. Christ is risen. And how do you respond? He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. I invite you to stand up right now. And I want you to talk to a few people, at least 3 or 4 people. And I want you to tell them Christ is risen. And I want you to hear a response. He is risen indeed. How do you say that in Chinese, Joanna? You can do it in Chinese. So let's spend a little time. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Okay. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. All over the world. All over the world. Christians say this. Even suffering Christians. Even in places like Egypt, where someone comes into a building and has a bomb, and there's persecution. Christians have always said this. It is our confession of faith. Christ is risen. Mary Magdalene, what a beautiful woman. Do you know? Some people have said that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, that was a converted sinner. There's no evidence in the Bible that she was. How many of you have heard the story, oh, Mary Magdalene was a very bad sinner? How many have heard that? Most of us. The reality is she was not. In the Bible, she's portrayed as a faithful woman of God. She believed first. She went to the disciples and told them Jesus is risen. In the Catholic Church, there was one great writer who said that she is the apostle to the apostles. She brought the message of the resurrection, a woman, to the disciples of Jesus Christ. I think of today of women. Often in a church, the women are the most open to the gospel. When you look at churches around the world, you often find more women than men. Men are so busy with their work, as if women don't work. Women have a spiritual sensitivity, and they respond to the things of God. And throughout church history, you will find examples of women preachers. In the Bible, we have many examples of women who proclaim the gospel. This is one. Mary Magdalene goes to the men, which was not a common thing to do, because in those days, a woman does not tell a man anything. But Mary Magdalene did. I can think of today many great preachers of the past in world history and in American history. I'm reading a book right now for a class that I'm taking. Interesting book. Turn the Pulpit Loose. 2 centuries of American women evangelists, American women preachers. And I'm looking through here, there's a lot of them. Jerina Lee, an African American in the 1800s. Harriet Livermore, Sojourner Truth. Phoebe Palmer. Anybody heard of Phoebe Palmer? We haven't. These are women who preached to thousands of people. Christian women preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that women can preach the gospel. And I believe the Bible confirms it. Sometimes I know of Christians who will go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And they'll show the scripture that says, women should not teach. Women should not have authority over men. And there are a lot of churches that like to preach this. And there are some churches where women are not deacons, where women are not trustees, where you don't see a woman preacher. And if you have a woman preacher, the people are talking. Pss, 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 pss. No, 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 no. I will tell you, God calls women to preach the gospel and men. What a lot of people don't want to do, though, is when they go to the second, the 1 Timothy chapter 2 text, they forget to quote the one portion of the scripture that says, women shall be saved in childbirth. Do we believe that salvation comes from childbirth? No. Paul was talking about a specific problem and a specific instance in his church. He never intended to say that women would not teach or preach. So if you're a woman and God is leading you, calling you to develop skills of ministry and preaching, listen to God. The Bible tells us in Joel chapter 2, 28 to 29, and also in the book of Acts, in Peter's sermon, and afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men dream dreams, your young men see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days. So many examples. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples and said, I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. Secondly, the second encounter or appearance of Jesus was when Jesus appeared to the disciples. On the evening of the first day, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, Jesus came. And Jesus said, peace be with you. Where was Thomas? Has anybody wondered why Thomas was not there? Where was Thomas? When Jesus came to the disciples the first time, he wasn't there. My first point this morning is this. Sometimes, could somebody get me some water, please? I'm going to cough more if I don't have water. Sometimes our spiritual progress is hindered because we have been hurt. Sometimes our growth in the faith is stopped because we've been hurt. Thank you. Thomas was not found with the disciples when Jesus came along the first time. And I think it's because some of us, thank you. There you go. So, some of us, we prefer to suffer in private. When we are hurt, we hide. And that's the worst thing to do. That's why the Christian church is so important, because when we're hurting, we can come together and be with other Christians who can comfort us. Thomas was creeping, hiding in the corners. I've known Christians to do this. I've also known Christians who have been hurt by other Christians in the church. Now, the church is composed of a lot of people. Some of the people in a church are mature, strong Christians, good, nice people. But we don't have a sign that says only mature, nice people come. In the church, we have people that are often not so nice. They love Jesus, but they may not be that nice. They're not very mature Christians. They're still growing. Or maybe they're baby Christians and they've been baby Christians for 40 years. And they don't want to change. They don't want God to warm their heart. There's some people in the church who, if they were Thomas, and Jesus said, come, look at my hands, put your hand in my side, they would say, no way. I don't want to do that. I'm too proud. Some people in church that way. God loves them. God died for them. You're a brother and sister to them. And they may even hurt you. I don't know why Thomas stayed away. But I do know that God made a way for Thomas. The Bible tells us in verse 24, 25, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came the first time. So the other disciples said, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks on his hands and put my finger into his side, I won't believe. Now, this is the same Thomas who in chapter 11 of John was with Jesus. And they were going back to Judea. And Judea, they tried to stone Jesus. They tried to kill Jesus. And the disciples said this to Jesus, because he wanted to go back to this place. Jesus was adventurous. He put himself in dangerous places for the sake of people. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there? Now, how many of you have guarded an important person ever? You ever see the movie Taken? You guard the important person. And you want to make sure the person doesn't get hurt. So, Jesus, don't go there. Are there any dangerous places in Washington, D.C.? Don't go there. Do you know what Thomas said? This is the so-called doubting Thomas. This is what Thomas said in chapter 11, verse 16. Let us also go, that we may die with him. Does that sound like a doubting Thomas? No. It sounds like many of us. Sometimes we're strong, sometimes we're weak. Thomas was a very real person. And at this one moment, he struggled and he doubted. Thomas needed to touch, to see Jesus. Now, Jesus is resurrected, is in heaven. You can't touch Jesus' hands today or his side. But you can meet other Christians that have suffered. You can meet other Christians that love Jesus Christ, whose life has been difficult, and they still have faith in God. This is why it's important to have relationships with people. Where my wife and I live, we drive into the neighborhood, go into our house, and most people don't know their neighbors. Nobody talks. In fact, they're probably here in church. People, the only place they really spend time with people is in church. And that's good. That's why you need the church. Can you imagine what it's like if you don't have church and you never meet any people except for the grocery store and the traffic? It would be terrible. Christianity is community-focused, oriented. God made a way for Thomas. Jesus went back. If God cares for a skeptic like Thomas, he will take care of you. There's a word that's a technical word in Christianity called apologetics. And it means defending your faith, apologetics. Sharing the proof of your faith. In this Bible text, we see three appearances of Jesus to Mary, to the disciples, and to Thomas. Because Luke wants to prove that Jesus rose from the dead. But apologetics is not only facts, evidence. It is also relational. We come to Christ mostly because people invite us, because we have friends. It's not like I had a friend one day, he told me when he was in China, he was driving and he had a box of Bibles and he was throwing them out to people in the field. That doesn't work. Does that work? No, it doesn't work. You have to have human connection to bring people to Jesus Christ. Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Thomas calls Jesus God. As Christians, we believe Jesus is God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Absolutely important to our faith. Then Jesus told them, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. Thomas moved from doubt to faith to life in Christ. The history of Christianity, church tradition tells us that Thomas went to India to preach the gospel. He became a missionary to India and helped start Christianity on that continent. So he was a faithful person. His confession of Jesus Christ motivated him and moved him to spread the gospel. Sometimes God doesn't call us to go to India. Sometimes God calls us to talk to our neighbor. But many of us, we don't want to. Sometimes God calls us to be kind to a neighbor and invite them to church. Because God cares for people. If God would come through Jesus to Thomas, where Thomas could touch his hands, certainly God can use you to reach people who don't know God. So there's three things today that I want us to remember from this text. Don't let the hurt in your life stop your spiritual progress. Don't stop growing and moving toward God because you've been hurt by another person. Be like Thomas. Surrender. Come to Jesus. Feel his wounds. Find other Christians who love God. Secondly, God will make a way for you. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know what you've suffered. I don't know which enemies you have. I don't know your emotional, psychological, physical struggles. I don't know how you've been injured and hurt and exploited and abused. God does. And he will make a way for you. Not the preacher. God himself will intervene in your life. And thirdly, if he cares for a Thomas who could deny him, he will care for you. He will care for you and come into your life. Why did Luke write this gospel? Jesus performed many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This morning, I want you to hear those words. If you are thinking about following Jesus, if you have not made a decision to follow Jesus, I want you to think about this message. Because the reason why we have the story of Mary Magdalene, the disciples, and Thomas is because Luke, the writer, wanted you to choose to follow Jesus Christ. So I encourage you over the next few weeks, if you want to follow Jesus Christ, talk to your pastors. Receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life, and your life will be transformed, and you will have life. You will have moved from doubt to faith to life. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you called Mary Magdalene a woman. And you still call women today. Thank you that you called Thomas, the man they say is doubting Thomas, but he was not doubting Thomas. He was struggling, he was hurt, he was in pain, and you came to him and gave him away. Lord, I pray today if there are people here that are struggling in their pain, they are struggling because they've sinned, they've been sinned against. I pray, God, that as we sing, they can release those burdens to you and they can speak in their heart, Lord Jesus, forgive me, come into my life. I choose to follow you like Thomas. I ask you, Lord, to be with your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.